So thank you, Ms. Bartel, for inviting me to come. My name is Sharon Gates, Mayor Sharon Gates of the City of Chilliwack. And I do have a story to tell, and I'm really excited to be able to tell it. And boy, we have a lot of people in the room today. There's probably about 50 of you, you think? So thank you for coming. Thank you, teachers, for arranging this. And I want to talk to you about crying today. That is such a weird title for a story to tell, because none of us really love to cry, do we? Anybody here love to cry? You love to cry? Oh my goodness. You love to cry too? Well, I love to cry if I'm watching a sad movie, as long as someone's crying with me, because if they're just laughing at me while I'm crying, then I feel really bad. Any boys here like to cry? Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about crying and what people think about crying. So I just need you to go to the first slide, if you could. So I want to tell you, first of all, that I am a mom. And my kids, this is Jothan. He's my boy that is 33. And this is my girl, Jenna. And she was born in the hospital, and the very first thing I noticed about that sweet little bundle of joy with all of the black hair and the beautiful brown eyes was that she cried a lot. As a matter of fact, when I gave birth to her, the very first thing she did was go, wah! And it was amazing because I knew she was alive. I knew she took breath into her lungs. But isn't it amazing the way the Creator made it so we don't come out of the womb laughing? You would think we would. We come out crying. We clear our lungs, we clear our eyes. And the first thing that most moms learn about their baby is they're crying because it's a strange environment, but they're also crying because they're hungry, usually, and they need to eat. Why else do babies cry? Anybody? Yeah? Because they pooped in their diaper. Absolutely. They pooped in their diaper and they want to be changed. What else? Why else do babies cry?
They want to get fed.
They want to get fed. Yes. What else?
They might be hurt.
They might be hurt. And lots of times they're tired. And I think sometimes they don't even know why they're crying. They just cry because they do. So they cry and cry and cry. Go to the next slide. But you know, when she would sleep, it was so peaceful. This picture I took one day when she was lying down on a blanket in a park with her brother, Jonathan, and they both fell asleep, which all moms know doesn't happen very often with kids in your family, because that's why moms are so skinny, and when you get to be grandmas like me, you start to get battered, because you're not running around after your kids all the time, and yelling at them and chasing them from room to room. So for me, that was a lovely time. But I don't think those quiet times are as, we don't have them as often as we think we deserve them in our life. So, the next thing, I want to tell you that my little girl grew up. And she, this is her out on Manning Park, and she started to snowboard. Well, I remember her coming home from snowboarding. And Ms. Bartel, did you ever go with her?
I think I did a couple of times.
You know, they were very, very good friends. And they used to hang out a lot. And I have one story to tell about that. But she used to love snowboarding. But I remember when she first started. Anybody here snowboard? Okay, so you will know that when you get on that board and you try to get your balance, you often fall, usually backwards, right? And then you have to pull yourself up, and by the end of the day, you do it hundreds of times, and pretty soon your bum gets really sore, your legs get really sore, and you get really cranky because it's wet, it's cold, and you have to keep pulling yourself up. Well, my girl cried. She didn't like it the first time she went out. She got discouraged. The ones that she went with were much better than she was on a snowboard, and she felt like she couldn't keep up. And so when Jenna would get tired and exhausted, she would cry. And cry she did. But she really taught me something because she never gave up. Sometimes when we feel like crying, we want to give up, right? And she never did. She just got back up on that snowboard, and soon snowboarding became the thing she lived for on weekends. She could hardly wait to get her mittens out and get her boots out and get her board out and then travel on up to Manning Park or wherever she would go with her husband, Chad. Go to the next one. So what you can't see on that particular picture is Jenna is crying. She went down to Los Angeles, And she decided that she wanted to go help little kids in Africa. So she wanted to take some schooling on how to be a missionary, how to go out and how to look after little kids who didn't have enough food, and how to help build things. And so she took a lot of training down in Los Angeles. So her very first trip was to a place on Africa. Now, some of you might not know what Africa looks like. I think most of you will. But Africa is kind of shaped like this, and it goes on down like this, and up like this, and around. And Jenna was on the part that goes right underneath. They call it the armpit of Africa. It's called Equatorial Guinea. And I'm telling you, it was the armpit of Africa. It was so poor. People there were so, so poor. They had no money. Jenna said that when she went to Africa, there were no wrappers from junk food anywhere. The place was clean, but it wasn't because people didn't litter. It's because they didn't have anything to throw away. She said that the king there had 3 palaces, but the people had nothing. And she couldn't phone me because there were no phones there. She couldn't write to me, but she kept a journal while she was gone, and I read it, and it was so, so sad. She talked about little kids who would come with big bellies, and not big bellies because they were chubby, but big bellies because when you don't eat for a while, you get malnourished and your stomach starts to get bloated, and so you have this round belly where your belly button sticks out, and it means you have no food, and you have these skinny, skinny little legs, and you can't run and play like other kids. And when it gets really bad, your hair starts to turn orange because you haven't got proper nutrition. So she said all over there were young kids there with orange hair and big bellies, and they would stand and they would wait for some soup and some rice and some plantain, they call it matoki there, and they would wait to be fed that. And she said she stood in the line, and many times she cried in the line looking at these little kids and thinking, oh, I don't know how we'll ever be able to solve this problem. She got malaria when she was over there. Their whole team got malaria because they got the wrong medication. And she got sicker and sicker and sicker. So when she came home from Africa, she was so happy to be home. She's looking at me with the camera and tears are pouring down her face. She's so happy to be back in Canada. And I asked her, would you ever go back to Equatorial Guinea again? And she said, you know, Mom, God would have to lift me up and put me on that plane and point the plane in that direction and take me there because I'm not going back. And she's still crying. I think a lot was she missed her friends, she missed her family, and she really felt sad seeing what was happening. The good news is, you know, after that, she made sure that she always took money out of her allowance and she ended up going to work for Earl. She took all of her tips and she gave all of those away to poor people because it really impacted her about how some people don't have the things that we take for granted, like breakfast or lunch or supper or toys or sweaters or clothes or all of those kind of things. Okay, so what you can't see in this picture, this is my daughter getting married. Right? But what you can't see in that picture is her daddy's throat is just like this. He's helping her down the aisle and he's really trying not to cry. I'm standing in the front because both my husband and I were ministers and we were going to marry them. But he tried so hard. Like, did any of you ever try hard not to cry? Oh, yeah. We've all kind of been there, hey, where you think, I can't cry, I don't cry, I don't want to cry, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to go there. And we try really hard. So what happens inside of your body when you're trying not to cry? You get all tense. Your voice goes all wiggly. All of a sudden, one side of your nose starts to run and snot starts coming down your face. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. That's because really, you know, no matter what, how many adults here like to cry? Any adults? No. See, oh, you like to cry. I love that you embrace that. That's awesome. I'm going to invite you to a movie at my house, a really sad one. I think for most people, though, we get kind of a little bit embarrassed. Isn't it funny? Because we don't get embarrassed when we laugh. We don't. We don't get embarrassed at all. When we giggle, we don't usually get embarrassed. We don't get embarrassed with other kinds of emotions, but as soon as tears start to come, we try really hard not to blink. We kind of try to keep our eyes really open so no one will be able to see that we're going to cry. And that's exactly what he's doing in that picture. Now, this is my girl when she was with her husband. And this is the last picture I ever took of her. This is, you see where it says International Departures? She was at the Vancouver airport, and she and her husband had been married for a year. And they decided that they were going to go on a trip together. So she said goodbye to all of her friends. And at that point, too, I got to tell you that Miss Bartell was a really good friend to her. She had, Miss Bartell has at her house, she's probably told you this, or maybe you've even seen, she has chickens at her house. Do you know that? Well, she has chickens at her dad's house, right? And kind of a farm that her dad works on. So Miss Bartell, when she was probably, I'm thinking probably about 10, 11, 12, she invited my daughter over to one of the barns. And my daughter and her were kind of thinking they might be vegetarian, I think, because they knew that those chickens were going to get killed and get sent to KFC. And so they weren't very impressed by that. And I think Miss Bartell talked my daughter into taking one of them under her coat to save it. So that chicken came to our house in a box, and I didn't know about it until I smelt it. Chickens, after they've been in your house for a couple of weeks, really start to stink. Trust me, their poo stinks. It really does. And so she had them in a box, and she hid them in her bedroom, and I couldn't understand why the house was smelling so bad. And I opened her door, and the smell hit me. And I looked, and there's now this chicken with little white feathers when they get really ugly, and little white feathers all over it, just looking at me, like daring me to do something with it. Well, I think we took her back to the barn, that little chicken. But Jenna had lots of fun with Miss Bartell, and so, you know, it was hard for her to say goodbye to all of her friends. She was going to be gone for 3 months, and then she was going to come back. But in fact, that was the very last time I saw her, because my girl was killed in a terrible accident in Greece. So now we get to cry. And what I learned is you always keep Kleenex. You guys told me you were going to make me not cry. So any time now, you should see the snot running down my face. So it's a terrible thing. And some of you have had really sad, sad things happen in your life. I think one of the first things that is really sad in our life, that we really experience what it's like to lose somebody or something we love, is when we have a pet die. Have any of you had a pet die?
It hurts, hey?
Doesn't it? You have several?
Yeah. Several boys, a dog, a rabbit.
Cute. A bird, a dog, and a rabbit.
Several boys. All dog boys.
That's tough. Who else lost something?
Six.
Yeah? What did you lose? Your auntie, did you say? Oh, how old was your auntie, do you know? That's very young. That's very young. You must have felt really, really sad when that happened, hey? What did you lose in your family?
My dad's mom.
Your dad's mom, so your grandma. Oh my, that's sad, hey? Here comes the snot, by the way. Here it comes. Yeah. Uh-huh. What did you lose in your family?
Two cats. My grandpa and my dad's dad.
Oh, goodness. That's a lot of loss. Oh, my. That's a terrible thing. Who else? Who did you lose, or what did you lose in your family?
A cat when I was six. Got ran over by a car.
Oh, did you see it?
No. I was in school while that happened.
I'm glad you didn't see it, because that's really kind of sad when you do. Yeah? What did you
hear? I lost my grandma, I think a year ago on September, and I thought she couldn't make it to her age because she was like feeling sick and she can't walk anymore.
Oh my, that's really sad, hey? And you must miss her, because we all miss the people that we love. And I know every hand that's up here right now, there's somebody or something that was really, really precious to you that you miss so much right now. So maybe afterwards you'll get a chance to tell someone in your class who you lost and what, how that made you feel, because that happens all through our life. And it's so sad. The very first thing that I ever lost in my life was my precious dog. His name was Ruff. And I remember I kept a diary. And I remember that I just wrote, Ruffy died. And then I never wrote anything for months after that, because it was just so hard to lose my dog. But in life, all of us have tough things that happen. There's some really horrible things that happen to us. We might lose somebody through death. We might have someone in our family who divorces, mom or dad who leaves us and we don't have family around us. We might lose a very best friend because we had a fight and that friend isn't talking to us anymore. We might lose a lot of things in life. And you know what? It is okay to cry. Even though you get embarrassed and you try not to cry and you just try, some people try to lock it all up inside and not think about it. It's okay. It's really, really okay. The last slide is a little bit tough, because that's the place where Jen is buried now. And I go by there and I sit there lots of times. I know that she's not there, but the part of her that I hugged and loved is there. So I'll stop at Tim Hortons and get a cup of coffee, because she's buried right on Promontory Road. And I'll just sit on a little bench there that my brother built for me, and I'll just sit and think about her and think about the lovely times that we were able to share together. I didn't want to just tell you that story to make you feel sad. What I wanted to tell you in the story is that you look around in your classroom and every day there will be somebody who is sad for some reason, because there's lots of kids inside of your classroom and you might not even know why they're sad. But they might be thinking about their pet, they might be thinking about their auntie, they might be thinking about their grandpa, they might be thinking about their dad, they might be thinking about somebody who is sick in their family. And the first thing that I learned is you should all have a box of Kleenex in your desk, or a little package of Kleenex, because when somebody's crying, you should pass them one and say, here, because it shows that you care about them, just in a really, really small way. I also learned that nobody should cry alone. You should always have somebody who will come along. If you see somebody crying, don't be afraid to walk up to them and just say, are you okay? You can say that. And if they keep crying and you know them very, very well, you can just walk up beside them and put your hand on their shoulder or try to help them get through, because doesn't it feel better when somebody helps you walk through that stuff? It does, doesn't it? Have any of you got a really good friend that helped you through a sad time? Yeah? Yeah, I'm so thankful for really good friends. So I'll tell you what happened to me and what really made me think about what you should do when somebody is going through a sad time. When I heard that my daughter had been killed and I was at home, I wanted to go see her friends who were working at Earl's just to make sure that they were okay. And the people who were at my house said, Sharon, don't go. There's somebody coming to see you tonight. And so I thought, really? So I just stayed, and they all came around into my house and brought guitars and they sang, and people brought food. There was so much food, and then the flowers started to come and there were piles of flowers. And then I heard singing and I thought, what is that? And I opened the door and I remember it was a beautiful spring night and the patio was warm. I had bare feet. And I remember feeling the warmth of the patio. And I looked out and people were coming down my road with candles. And they were singing. And some of them I knew, and some of them I didn't know. And I looked and there were probably about 250 people. Because at that point I knew a lot of people and they knew me too. And all they wanted to do is come and say, can we be sad? My very favorite memory was of my little girlfriend next door. She's only like 7 years old or 6 years old. She might even be younger. She was younger at the time, because she's 12 now. So she's just a young thing, right? And she came over to my place and she saw me watering my flowers and I was crying. And she said, Sharon, are you crying? And I said, yes, I'm crying. She said, why are you crying? I said, because I miss my girl. And she said, can I come? come and sit with you? And I said, yes, you can come and sit with me. So we sat on our little chairs on the front porch, and her dad came over and he said, Megan, what are you doing over there? Come on home. And she said, I'm helping Sharon cry. And I love that. I love that. I love that she was there for me. So I guess the message I want to leave with you is, you know, be with someone who's crying. Help people who are sad. Look after them, because we're all part of the same big family. There may even be people that you don't like very much in your classroom or in other classrooms. Push past that and be kind to them when they're sad, because you never know what it's going to do inside of them. It's going to help them. What I have to tell you for you, if you are sad, when my girl died, I didn't want to get out of bed. I just wanted to lie in bed and pull the covers up over my head. I wanted the whole world to go by. I didn't want to get up in the morning and put on makeup and comb my hair and do all of those things. But I did. And day after day after day, you will get stronger. It will still hurt. You saw me cry today. It will still hurt. But you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And you will learn that those precious memories that you have of your dog, of your auntie, of your uncle, of your grandpa, of your grandma, of your cat, your bird, your rabbit, okay, they will really help you keep going. You know, I never would have thought that after that could happen, that I would throw myself so much into my work and want to help the city so much that I would run for mayor. But I'm glad I did. Now I see families lots of times who are in serious trouble, and they need help, and I know the direction to push them in. But I'm not sure that I would have done that if I hadn't gone through what I went through, and my husband went through, and Miss Bartell went through, and everybody who loved my family went through. So I just want to say a big thank you to all of you for listening to my story, because you showed me something else. When you listen to people's story of sadness, you help them too. The more times you tell the story, the easier it gets for you. So the title of my story again was Even Big People Cry. The end of it is, and so should little people. So thank you to all of you. I know you're not so little. You're grade 5 and grade 6. Thank you very much for being open to have me come and tell my story. It was really fun. And thank you, teachers, for allowing me to tell this story. Thank you.